This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
The tone that you hear it described as is jingly jangly. And if you're a guitarist, you're going, uh-huh. And other people are going, oh, come on. You're making that up. No, really.
That's what I just said in my head.
No, really.
And Chad P.
Sorry, excuse me. Excuse me for trying to do a radio show while you're trying to sing.
Class is in.
The third time is the charm. This is Rock School, ladies and gentlemen, as we play the game. And lots of music for you. My name is Joe Burns, broadcasting from the campus, Southeastern Louisiana University. Got a great show for you today. The kid sitting next to me is...
Chad P!
You know how sometimes we say the email address and we say, hey, send us show topics and we'll consider them and maybe even play them?
See?
Yeah. Here's the email address, ladies and gentlemen.
KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. Did we get an email or show topic?
Somebody took us up on the request.
Excellent.
This guy's name is Ralph Wood, a drummer, by the way.
I know Ralph. He's here at Southeastern.
That's right. Played professionally. He contacts me. He's in the health education one. He's the one that says, take a lap.
Yeah. Yes. Take a lap.
Excuse me. I don't understand this on the test. Take a lap. Excuse me, but I don't understand the question.
Take a lap.
That's right. Go run it off. Maybe it'll come to you somewhere around the third corner over there. He says, what about the Rickenbacker guitar? And I said, I don't know. What about the Rickenbacker guitar? He said, that was the instrument that basically gave the sound to the British invasion. I said, yeah, you're right.
Oh.
And I said, and a lot of guitarists today are using the instrument. He said, oh, yeah, a lot through the 70s and through the 80s. And I said, yeah, there's a show in this.
There's
said,
a show.
You know what? I think I'll go to the Rickenbacker website. So I go to the Rickenbacker website. And a lot of websites have these fan forums.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the fan forum, and there's this thing that says, what is your favorite song that includes the Rickenbacker guitar?
Oh, cool.
Boom! And there it is. Just song after song after song.
There's your content.
Now, yeah, we got a show. We got a show. So this hour is dedicated to one of the greatest American-made guitars. You would think...
Wait a minute.
I know. You would think since it was the sound of the 60s coming across the pond...
That it would have been manufactured across the pond.
You would think, but no. Santa Ana, California.
Hey.
The Rickenbacker guitar, known affectionately to those of us who love the instrument as the Ricky. He's gonna run to you. Did you hear a little bit of the jingly jangly in there?
I did.
It's a different sound. We're gonna get into the actual construction of the instrument and the construction of the pickups and how that actually gets to that sound.
Oh, there you go.
Rock School.
You guitarists are little mini engineers. I've always said it.
I would love to tear one of these things apart because they're not built like normal guitars. But if we're gonna feature an instrument, people who are not guitarists are gonna want to say, well, how can I pick one of these things out? If somebody says to me, so what was the Rock School show about? Oh, the Rickenbacker, the Ricky, or just the Rick. Sometimes
right.
It's just called the Rick.
Mm-hmm.
What can I play for somebody? One chord. There's one chord that just says Rickenbacker.
What is it?
On February 9th, 1964, the Beatles were paid $4,000 to appear on the Ed Sullivan Show. Paul McCartney played that Hofner bass. It's the one that kind of looks like a violin.
Yeah.
George Harrison played a Guild Casino guitar. I knew this stuff off the top of my head. It's really sad, isn't it? Ringo Starr played Ludwig drums. I had to look that one up.
Uh-huh.
John Lennon played a 325 Ricky.
Okay.
It was pitch black. Okay. Now, it was originally their Cherry Sunburst, which was the sort of orange and red, but he wanted it to be pitch black so it wouldn't stand out so much against the other two instruments. So he took it to a luthier, that's somebody who takes care of instruments, guitars, stringed instruments, and he had it painted black.
Okay.
When they appeared, sales exploded. Everybody saw this instrument, and they said, "What is John Lennon playing? Oh, that's a Ricky. Gotta have a Ricky." So the Beatles must have recorded a lot with the Ricky. Certainly did. Now here's that chord.
What's the chord?
You ready?
Yeah.
What does a Ricky sound like? It's been a hard day's night. The opening chord is a Ricky. Rock school.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog.
Here it is again. Listen.
Yep.
Hear the twangy?
Mm-hmm.
That's a Ricky one more time. By the way, George Harrison also helped the Rickenbacker 12-string take off. Now, why do we care about the Rickenbacker 12-string? When you hear a Rickenbacker play, a lot of the terms you'll hear around it are jingly jangly. I know that sounds like I'm making that up. But when you hear people talk about the Rickenbacker guitar, the tone that you hear it described as is jingly jangly. And if you're a guitarist, you're going, uh-huh. And other people are going, oh, come on. You're making that up. No, really.
That's what I just said in my head.
No, really. Jingly jangly.
Okay.
And the jingle jangle really comes out of the fact that a lot of the guitars that you'll see with Rickenbackers are 12 strings.
Okay.
So the electric 12 string, although it didn't start, of course, with Rickenbacker, Rickenbackers and the 12 strings actually became very, very popular. George Harrison was one of the first to get the Rickenbacker 12 string.
12 strings?
Yes.
Guitar has 6 strings, right?
Well, the traditional guitar does. What happens is you double the bass string, the string that's closest to the guitarist's head.
Right.
You have the regular E,
right.
Then you have an octave E with it. And they're very, very close together, so one finger can fret both of them.
Okay.
Then the next string is an A, octave, D, octave, G, octave. Then the B string, which is the second string from the bottom, is simply doubled.
Okay.
And then the farthest string from the guitarist's head is doubled again.
Okay.
That's how you get it. A lot of times, guitarists will take a 12-string and turn it into a 9-string.
Mm-hmm.
What they'll do is they'll simply take the bottom 3 strings, the highest 3 strings,
yes,
the G, the B, and the E, and they'll pull off the doubling strings. So when you play it, it will sound like a 12-string, but you can then play leads on the top 3 strings.
Well, what confused me is that I know that as far as a thickness, the top string is the thickest,
yes,
and the bottom string is the thinnest.
Yes.
So I'm thinking if you double the amount of strings, are you going with the same amount of thickness, or are you getting actually a thicker string at the top and a thinner string at the bottom? Because those bottom strings, my dad plays guitar.
Yeah, not necessarily.
I've fooled around with a guitar, and I can't do it because the strings hurt my fingers. Call me what you will.
No,
they
it
hurt.
Hurts. It hurts. Yeah, you have to build up calluses on your fingers. But the 12 string does take a little bit more control. You don't have the ability to stretch the strings and do that. It's very hard to play leads on 12-string guitars.
Okay.
But the Rickenbacker had this beautiful thing on its head, the head of the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, 12-string heads are very tall.
Yes.
Because instead of having just 6 tuning heads, it has to have 12.
Right.
So a lot of 12-string guitars have 6 pegs on either side.
Yeah.
What the Rickenbacker did was figure out that you could put 6 on a side and 6 in the back.
Oh, wow.
It's really neat to see it. If you get a chance to go online and take a look at it. So the 12 strings come up, 6 on the front, 6 on the back. Different size, or same size head, but 12 strings. Neato. The guy who really made the 12 string come alive was a guitarist by the name of Roger McGuinn, who is in the Byrds, and he was just known for jingly jangly. You ready?
Yeah.
1967, the album was Younger Than Yesterday. Chad?
What?
So you want to be a rock and roll star? Listen now to what I say. Here are the Byrds. Rock school. Okay, now you're a drummer, right? This is Rock School, by the way, and we are doing an hour from our good friend. Yay! Our good friend Ralph Wood.
I want screaming crowd sound effect in our intro now.
Okay, God, put some in. Why not? Ralph Wood, by the way, gave us this idea. He is a professor here on the campus of Southeastern. He said, do a show for the Rickenbacker guitar, affectionately known to guitarists as the Ricky.
And we said, okay.
Okay, no sweat there. So everything you've heard to this point is kind of jingly jangly. And yeah. Let me ask you, inside of that song, there's an instrument. I wanted to ask you if you knew what it was. It's like a wood block that has ridges on it. You take a wood piece and you a wood stick and you run it across it. Zip, 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 zip. What's that called?
I have no idea. I'm a drummer.
Okay. I just thought it sounded like a wood block to me.
Let's call it a wood block.
Why not?
A stringed wood block.
Every single guitar we've heard to this point, and Brian Adams was a little tougher, they've kind of been jingly jangly.
I call it twang.
Yeah, twang. Not bad.
Twang.
Yeah. They have been what's known as toaster pickups.
What?
Toaster pickups. I'm going to talk about toaster pickups in a little bit. The next guy was using a different kind of pickups called the high gains. Now, you could get a Rickenbacker with either the toaster pickups or you could get it with the high gain pickups. What was neat about the high gain pickups was that they put out more output than any other pickup out there at the time. What was neat about the toaster pickups was that they put out less output. You sort of were able to buy less output or more output.
Okay.
You got more jingly jangly out of the toaster pickups, or you got a more striking sound out of the high gain pickups. Now, why do I care about this next guy? It is a real feather in the cap of a musician when a company comes to you and says, we believe your use of our instruments is good for us. So we would like you to personally design your own instrument. John Kay of Steppenwolf was brought out to the Santa Ana Company, and he has his own Ricky. There is the John Kay Steppenwolf Rickenbacker guitar, and you can still buy it today. So here's Steppenwolf on the high gain pickups. This doesn't sound jingly jangly. It's pretty rough. Here's Suki Suki on Rock School.
Yeah, Steppenwolf, baby.
Good stuff.
You know, that's one of those bands. Let him finish. Sorry, excuse me for trying to do a radio show while you're trying to sing.
I got to introduce him, by the way.
Did you now?
Yeah, when I was doing radio, my last radio station, it wasn't Steppenwolf, it was John Kay and Steppenwolf.
Uh-huh.
It was him and a band he had hired, and I got to go up on stage and introduce him and shook his hand as he was coming on stage.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
The sound that he produces from that guitar is easy for me to identify who's playing. It's kind of like when I hear a Van Halen song.
It's him.
I listen to the snare drum. I always know it's Van Halen by listening to Alex Van Halen's snare drum.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's them. I know it's Steppenwolf when I hear John Kay's guitar.
Neat, huh?
Yes, it
Neat,
is.
Neat, huh? Yep. John Kay and the John Kay Steppenwolf Ricky. We got to take a quick break. Now, those were the high gains. When we get back, I'm going to tell you what the toaster pickups are. You know why? Because I'm here to do that.
That's right.
Hello to one of our affiliates, LSU Tiger Radio. How are you?
That's right. KLSU and WESU Middletown, Connecticut. Thank you so much for running Rock School.
We'll be back in a minute. Rock School. This is Rock School as we do an hour devoted to one guitar, the Rickenbacker, known affectionately as the Ricky. I see a hand in the back.
Oh, yes, me in the back.
The handsome young man there.
Yes.
I believe his name is Chad.
Hi.
Yes, man.
Does Rickenbacker make a bass?
Yes, and
okay.
We're going to play some bass Rickenbackers. As a matter of fact, I have one from Geddy Lee. I have one from Chris Squire of Yes. He's huge. Hope he doesn't hear me. He will crush my head.
You called me Chris.
No, I called you Chris. Please go back and edit that.
Yeah, because I thought I had heard about a Rickenbacker bass before. So
Most people would know the Rickenbacker bass. People who are casual would know it. It is a monster of an instrument.
Oh, cool.
I mean, very, very heavy.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that as well.
Cool.
We talked about the toaster pickups. In fact, I should have talked about them earlier. They are very popular on the Rickenbacker 12-string, but they're found on all the guitars. This is going to be by the Hollies. Once again, Buddy Holly's influence on music. The Hollies are called the Hollies because of Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly.
This is the toaster pickup. Mm-hmm. They're called toaster pickups because when you look at them, the top of them looks like a toaster.
Oh,
it's
well.
The metal cap that sits over top of it has two long, rounded end cuts in it. Mm-hmm. And it's basically so the magnetic posts of the pickup have clear access to the strings.
Okay.
But they look like toasters. Mm. What makes them so jingly jangly is they are a low output pickup. What does that mean? You have to turn the amplifier up a little bit more and you have to have a little bit more gain on the instrument, but it creates a higher, a more tinny's not the word, but a more treble sound coming out of the guitar.
Okay.
Thus, jingly jangly.
Right.
Here's Carrie Ann, the Hollies on Rock School. Hollies and Carrie Ann. Good stuff. Did you hear the steel drums in that?
I did.
Well, you know, you got to find. And that wood block was in there again. We have to learn the name of that.
Give us watch it. Watch it be like a really simple name. That's a washboard, you bunch of
idiots. Yeah, and I have no idea what it is. Welcome to the bottom of the hour.
Welcome.
Yeah, a couple minutes late. We were so late last time. It's time to do 7 days in 70 seconds. If you would, sir, a music bed, please.
Here
see
it comes.
How quickly I can get this. Oh, sleepwalk. Sleepwalk.
There you go.
A couple seconds. We have for you something that happened every day from this week, the 16th through the 22nd of February.
Mm-hmm.
If you would, please.
That's right. February 16th in 1968, Detroit, Michigan declares today to be Aretha Franklin Day.
And everybody got hats with giant bows
That's
on
right.
them.
That's everyone.
February 17th, 1972, Pink Floyd premieres Dark Side of the Moon.
And the world was never the same. In 1992, on February 18th, Mr. Vince Neil quit as the lead singer of Motley Crue, but the band reunited at the American Music Awards just 5 years later.
February 19th, 2003, Warwick, Rhode Island, 100 people are killed when fire destroys the station nightclub. It was ignited by a pyrotechnic display used by the band Great White.
February 20th, 1996, rappers Snoop Doggy Dogg and his bodyguard were found not guilty of first-degree murder. See, the jury was deadlocked on voluntary manslaughter charges, and it resulted in a mistrial.
Hmm. On the 21st of February, 2001, Elton John performs a duet with Eminem, and the rappers hit Stan at the 43rd annual Grammy Award show. Remember, they all came out and gave the finger.
Yep.
And it was over. On February 22nd, 1968, Genesis is introduced to the world. Its first single was The Silent Sun.
Well,
and that's 7 days in 70 seconds.
Thank goodness it wasn't I Can't Dance.
There you go.
Cool.
Cheap Trick's lead singer is Robin Zander, and he plays a Ricky exclusively. Interestingly enough, he plays a Ricky hollow body, meaning it's hollow, the inside. You've seen an acoustic guitar. It's hollow on the inside.
Okay.
Normally, hollow body guitars are made by having a plate in the back, a wood plate on top, and then sides, and you glue the four pieces together, side, top, back.
Right.
That's not the way that these guitars are made. If it's a hollow body, it's a solid piece of wood, and then they route out the wood from the back. And then put a plate on the back.
So not only are you guitarists mini engineers,
yeah,
but you're carpenters too.
That's right. These things are more violin than they are guitars.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, though, the F hole that's on the front of it that allows the sound to come forth even farther is not in the shape of an F. And
of
by the way,
not.
It's called an F hole because F means forte, loud.
Oh.
It's in the shape of a cat eye. So when you see a Rickenbacker that is supposedly or gives the impression that it is hollow, it's not hollow because it's been constructed that way. It's hollow because the wood has been routed out.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you about the construction of neck as opposed to wings after you listen to one from Cheap Trick. Look out! It's the Dream Police!
Oh no.
On Rock School.
Dream Police.
From the album Dream Police,
they're
ladies
after
and gentlemen.
Me.
1979. And they come after you in your sleep, ladies and gentlemen.
That. I love Cheap Trick.
A show dedicated to the Ricky. We're going to play one more song by the Ricky Guitars, and then we're going to start playing around with the bass. Probably get back to the guitar before the show is over, because I don't have all that many with the bass. You were giving me heck because I was going on and on about, you know, all these different things you guitarists can buy.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you go into a guitar shop and he's like, what can I do for you, sir? Well, I'd like a Rickenbacker with a cat eye hole, and give it toaster pickups and other crazy adjectives.
There has to be this many things on drums.
Not really, no.
Oh, well. What kind of drums do you play? Round drums.
Oh, no, we're not that dumb.
The Rickenbacker... No. The Rickenbacker guitar is built in an interesting fashion. Mostly, before guitarists lose their mind, mostly, guitars are built with the body as either one piece of wood or two pieces of wood put together,
okay.
And then the neck is attached to it, either bolted or glued on.
Fair enough.
The neck is a different piece of wood. The Rickenbacker guitar, however, is what's known as a through-body neck. Now, someone's going to say, oh, come on, there's other guitars that have through-body neck. Yes, you're right, there are. However, the Rickenbacker has what are known as wings, meaning if you take the top and bottom of the guitar and break it off, the neck all the way through the pickups down to where the guitar strap hits it is all one piece of wood.
How do you know that? Who actually sat down and broke them off?
Well, you don't have to break them off. You can see it down at the bottom. If you come to my house, I have 3 encyclopedias on guitars, and I've read them all 2 or 3 times. It's really sad. I need to meet my wife again. The Rickies have, with these two shapes, the two wings on either side that make it a guitar, there are 3 ways that these things hit. You've seen a Les Paul that has a single cutaway,
yes,
you know what I'm talking about,
yes.
So your hand will go further up the neck. There are 3 shapes that which a Ricky meets the neck. There's the tulip, which has a double cutaway, they call that. There's the crescent, in which one is a little taller than the other, so when you look at it, it looks like a crescent moon. And then there's the cresting wave, which in which the one that's closest to the head, which the guitarist is playing it,
mm-hmm,
at the top of it has a little kind of a scroll there, so it looks like a cresting wave when you're looking at it. So there are the 3 ways at which the things hit.
All right, I'm sorry.
Here are the Bangles. Hero Takes a Fall on Rock School.
The Bangles!
That's Susanna Hoffs out there, and she's the one playing the Rickenbacker on all of the rhythm parts, the Bangles. That's from their debut album, All Over the Place. I like the Bangles.
I like the Bangles too, and because of this show, I know a little bit about the Bangles. Used to be called the Bangs.
Right.
And the record company asked them, you probably don't want to be called the Bangs because of probably the sexual references,
yeah,
so why don't you call yourselves the Bangles?
Too cute by half. In 1968, the Ricky 360 SF came out. Dig this. It was the first production model guitar with slanted frets. The frets, instead of being flat,
yeah,
meaning perpendicular to the instrument's neck,
yes,
they slanted down, away. Because apparently, the hand isn't supposed to sit in the position that it does on the neck.
Mm.
It's supposed to sit calmly on a bit of a slant.
Who said that?
I don't know. I've never played one.
You don't know, Scooby?
Yeah. I don't know. But apparently your hand is supposed to sit like that. I'd like to get my hands on one of them, because I'd like to see if it actually makes it easier to play. My guess is it would drive me up a tree.
Yeah.
Because,
well, if you're used to playing it in one certain position, then why change?
It would drive me nuts, I would assume.
Okay.
Time to move to the bass. I'm guessing, and I'm straight out guessing. The next song, I'm guessing that Geddy Lee is playing a Rickenbacker bass. And
you don't
the only
know.
Reason, I don't know. And the only reason I'm guessing that he's playing a Rickenbacker bass is that in the picture, on the Moving Pictures LP,
mm-hmm,
he's holding a Rickenbacker bass.
Mm.
He's known for playing Rickenbacker basses. He's known for playing Fender Jazz basses. And he's also known for playing, I think they're called Steinberger basses. They're the ones that have no head on them. The strings are strung backwards.
He's known for playing
all 3 of those basses. I'm guessing he's playing this. The Rickenbacker basses, well preferred by very large men. Lemmy plays one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Squire from Yes plays one. Massively large, huge cresting wave heads on the headstock. Very thick strings strung through the body, attempting to get even more sustain out of them. I've played one. Wicked thick. You have to have a very strong hand. I think this is one of them.
Okay.
Why? XYZ.
Yay.
Rush on Rock School. Well, I'll tell you what, that was a song when I was in high school. Yeah, high school. Boy, am I older than you. When I was in high school, if you were a guitarist, you had to be able to either play that or do a very good fake of that one.
Hey, what,
or,
that?
Yeah, you didn't get to learn the secret handshake.
It's a masterpiece.
We are talking about the Ricky, and that's the Ricky bass. We're going to talk during the little break, Chad and I, whether we're going to do another one or whether we have to go back to the guitar.
Well, hello. We don't have long to make that decision.
Yeah, we're going to be out of here in 10 minutes. Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain. Hello. Thank you for carrying Rock School.
KSCL, Shreveport, Louisiana. Thank you so much for running Rock School.
Back in a minute. Rock School. This is Rock School as we devote an hour to the Ricky, the Rickenbacker instrument, the Rickenbacker guitar, and we just finished up with the bass. We're going back to guitar because we have so much music from the Rickenbacker guitar. Mike Campbell and Tom Petty from the Tom Petty Band, obviously Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Both of them play Rickenbackers. Tom Petty likes Fenders as well, but you're going to see a lot of time him hanging on to a Rickenbacker. Mike Campbell plays Guilds. He also loves Rickenbackers. The song we're about to play, The Waiting, does Rickenbackers. Let me give you another example of Rickenbackers' innovation.
Okay.
In 1970, they decided to play around with harmonics, if you will.
Oh, boy.
They took a guitar and they covered it with a plastic top and put a whole bunch of lights inside of it.
What?
And then, seriously, I got a picture of it. I've never seen one in person, but in one of my guitar encyclopedias, and by the way, these things are all over the place, they put lights inside of it and then put sensors in it that would listen for certain frequencies of music, certain hertz. So when you played it, when certain frequencies were played, either by you or by other instruments, the lights would change. So as you played, this guitar put on a light show. Why not?
I'm a guitarist, you're a guitar. Hey, what?
Yes?
I'm bored.
Yes.
Hey, I got something we could do. And then for the next 5 days, you're on this project.
Yeah. I'll bet they sold a ton of them.
Man!
I'll bet they sold a ton of them. From Hard Promises in 1981, Tom Petty, Mike Campbell, you're going to hear the jingly jangly, The Waiting, Rock School. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. We're coming to our last break here on the show devoted to Rickenbacker guitars, affectionately known as the Ricky. Hey, thank you very much to our listener, Ralph Wood, an associate professor in the Health Education Department. Ralph, take a lap.
Take a lap. Folks, you too can be like Ralph.
Yes.
Send us in those show topics. We want to know because sometimes we just get a little distracted and it's hard to come up with a topic.
I still love the guy who, I know we've said this before, but I still love the guy that sent us a topic. Only songs that have the F word in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do that
we're
for
gonna
you.
We're going to do that one.
Yeah,
just
sure.
Keep on waiting like the song says.
Yeah. Oh, good. Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. What is that email address?
KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, topic.
Excellent. Here is one more little bit of information which really sets the Rickenbacker company apart. George Beauchamp and Paul Barth were working for a company called National. If you've ever seen a guitar that's completely built out of, it kind of looks like steel or aluminum, highly polished, they built what is generally regarded as the first magnetic pickup, the first guitar pickup.
Mm.
Guy named Harry Watson, at Rickenbacker, put it on a maple lap guitar, which was nicknamed at the time the frying pan,
okay,
back in 1931. So if you want to be super, super picky, you could state that the first electric guitar ever was built by Rickenbacker.
Wow.
There you go. So that's kind of nice. You would think Gibson or Fender. Nope. Rickenbacker. Mm. So that wraps it up. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
I hope you know more, a little bit more about the Rickenbacker guitars. So when you make your way to Guitar Center or some other really nice guitar shop, look at the guy and say, show me a Ricky. And he will look at you and say,
yes, sir.
You know your guitars. Class is dismissed.